This is Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills, Hard Body Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and the mentally irregular Doc Turner. This podcast is a mix of your topics and thoughts in the world of pro wrestling, along with interviews and discussions with current independent stars and your favorite stars from the past. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
We are back for another episode of Booking the Territory's Pro Wrestling Podcast, which this week features another one of the tremendous talents from Hood Slam, El Chupacabra, as they get ready for their first card of 2016 or 2016 this Friday, January 1st at the Oakland Metro. West Coast peeps, thank you for tuning in and downloading and checking out the show. If this is your first time tuning in, then make sure you check out all the other great episodes we got, like with the One Man Gang, Michael Tarver slash Tyrone Evans from WWE back in the day. Also, check out Drugs Bunny, the Stoner Brothers, and Sheik Khan. We will get to my talk with El Chupacabra shortly, but first we are discussing your emails, Facebook messages, and Twitter topics from this week in the world of pro wrestling. We hope you all had a very good Merry Christmas and look forward to a happy, happy New Year. Helping me kick off this week's show are my two co-hosts, one of them being the world's greatest wrestling manager on the independent scene from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, the one and only Hard Body Harper, and the other is the mentally irregular asshat that joins us weekly as well, Mr. PhD himself, Doc Turner. Harper, I know Christmas was last week, but man, you had a rough week, man. How are you feeling?
I'm all right now, bro. I'm cool.
Okay. I mean, you had flu-like symptoms and stuff, man. So yeah. I know how that shit goes, man. You got the flu and stuff, and running fever, and just feeling exhausted, man. But you're doing all right, though.
Yeah. I was stuck in a hospital for like freaking 2.5 days.
God damn, know, man. Huh? Give you some good meds in there, didn't they?
Yeah, they gave me some the hell is it called?
Vicodin? What? I mean, something in the IV.
Percocet.
Oh, yeah. You got the good shit.
Yeah, that stuff worked a little too good.
Had you floating, huh, bro?
Yeah, I couldn't sleep at all.
Well, that shit'll make you dream about aliens, dude, and
dude,
shit, man.
I went to sleep. I tried. As soon as I closed my eyes, bro, my mind is like, okay, go. And my mind was just running, bro, and I would just start sweating. Like I was tripping, bro. And I told the nurse, I was like, man, no, I can't be taking this stuff.
No mas.
So.
Doc, I mean, you're a doctor, man. What the hell was going on with Harper, man? What was happening?
Teddy, let's get the Kawasaki Mule. I just shot a 40-point buck.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wait, wrong podcast. I'm sorry.
Stop, dude.
What did you need me to do?
Do not ever imitate Austin again, please.
Give me another IPA.
Okay. The man was tripping on Percocet.
So? Share. Okay.
Oh, all right.
What he was taking?
I have no clue why he's bringing up Austin with this at this point in time.
I've just been really listening to all the podcasts over the over this nice Christmas break. By the way, don't you ever speak for me again telling all of our dumbass listeners Merry Christmas from me. I don't wish them a Merry Christmas. You're lucky I gave you the time of day to wish you one.
Is that the best promo you got today? Because if so, that shit sucked ass.
Oh, we'll see what happens for the next 45 minutes.
Okay. I'm just double checking with you, man. All right. Well, as you can see, Doc is miserable as usual, everyone. And his Cowboys are 4-11 now. And there's no need to discuss NFL football other than the fact that one of our very, very faithful listeners, Thog94, did send in some information about that. But, Doc, you're going to love this because he was not only sending it to you, but now we got listeners going at listeners. So let me just drop this one on y'all. This is good. Now, Thog is cool, man. He always sends in good stuff.
And, slow down on that one.
He does. He sends in real good shit. Anyway, so he had a response actually for Chip and you. So it was this. He said, "How can you take a guy who likes Schittsburg seriously?" He's talking about Chip, the Pittsburgh fan, which I don't know if Chip sent in anything this week. I got to double check.
Probably not. They got their asses beat.
Yeah, they're freaking Ravens
beat them. He said, "People don't realize that the Three Rivers are actually above ground sewer lines, which explains a lot." Now, you got to admit, Doc, that was pretty good. But hold on 1 second, because he's got
Why
more.
Why don't you leave commentating to the experts, bruh?
I actually thought that was pretty good, man. I appreciate that, TK. Doc needs to get his nose out of books and educate himself on other sports. He can stick to football, as lacrosse would be a little too difficult to explain to him. There are too many moving parts and lines on the field. I'd love to see either Chip or Doc suit up for lacrosse. My 10-year-old daughter would make them cry on the field, and my son would make them shit themselves. I guess that's what you get when uneducated people try to talk about something they have no idea about. You get to deal with that every week, Mike, and I feel for you. Thank you, TK. Dog, I really appreciate that.
Next he's going to try to sell me that ice hockey is a real sport, too.
Bro, let me tell you something. It take a man to play ice hockey.
That's fine, but I don't want to watch it.
But you do know why black folks don't play ice hockey. I mean, I ain't trying to get racist here.
Why don't you enlighten us there? I'm going to step away from that
one. Sounds like a joke.
Man, do you remember
my grandpa would tell me.
No, bro. Cedric the Entertainer said it best. Cedric the Entertainer said, because there'd be a brother skating around without a stick. Like, I'm going to fuck a motherfucker up tonight. Look, man, I'm saying, though, dude, but I got a lot of respect for ice hockey, man. I mean, I'm not a Stars fan or nothing in Dallas here, but
are they big over there? No, huh?
Doc, you watch the Stars at all?
Nah. I mean,
okay. I know some people that are, but I mean, they're mostly like transplants from up
there. Yeah, it's just whatever. It's just there.
Yeah. Doc's probably been to a few games, though.
Nah.
Nah, never?
Nah.
Okay. I mean, it seems like a sport that you, for some reason, like, you know. What is that? Well, let me guess. You don't have to be smart to play ice hockey either, right?
Why would you think I like hockey?
I don't know, man. I'm just something dumb, because you're a dumb motherfucker.
So you don't like hockey either?
It's all right. Let me say this. I don't watch it, but I respect it, unlike you.
I respect nothing. Now, let's keep going.
Okay. All right. As we're getting things going, Hood Slam folks, if you are tuning in again for the first time, as you can see, we really don't give a shit. It's no holds barred on this show. We curse. We have fun. We take listener questions, and actually, the crazier the questions, the better. With that said, make sure you're checking out my buddy on ProWrestlingOpinion.com. His columns there reviewing all things pro wrestling. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at @BTT_podcast. It's at CJH Hoodat. That's a Hard Body Harpers. And then myself, it's at Mike504Saints. And Doc Turner is too mentally irregular to understand Twitter. Actually, he trolls it from his wife's page, but that's another story. Facebook.com. Make sure you follow us there at facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And give us a like and all that good stuff. And subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean.com, or Stitcher to get our weekly episodes automatically. All right, y'all. Let's tackle these questions, man, because we got a shitload of them this week before we get on over to El Chupacabra. Carter wants to know, I really like what they did with Neville and Owens, but they made one mistake. Let's see if you guys know what I'm talking about. What the fuck is this guy fishing for? Doc, do you have any clue?
The big mistake for me was that shit went less than 1 minute.
I was actually okay with what they did. But you know what you can't do in a PG era that you could do back in the day in a situation like that? You can make Neville's ass bleed. That would have really set it off.
Yeah. But he made up.
You know what I'm saying?
He made up for it later by when he drove Ambrose through that table and looked like he jizzed all afterwards in his facial expressions. He got it back.
That was really weird, wasn't it? His like, you saw that, Harper?
Yeah.
His facial. I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
I saw a meme with a screenshot of it that said, when you nutted and she's still sucking. It was his face.
That's real classy, man. Come on.
Super classy. Christmas edition. New Year's.
You know what's bad? That's actually true. When they showed that in, they showed that close-up of his face. I never thought about it like
now,
that.
Now, think about Vince telling him to do it. Now, goddamn, pal.
Very true, very true. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. Harper, if he'd have bled, wouldn't that have sold it more? I mean, not that you can do that now.
Yeah, but... yeah, it would, bro. It's about the right time to bleed, and that would have been the perfect time.
Yeah, because, okay, it's like, I look at it like the old school way, from the territories, right? So that happens, like, as quick as it did. What did he lose in? Less than a minute? I can't remember exactly. So he loses in less than a minute. And this is the only reason why I say losses don't matter sometimes. Because, I mean, they do matter, but not always. Because he loses in less than a minute, and then he comes up and he goes apeshit, right, on Neville. And then Neville gets busted open in the process. Yeah. Now, that would start a feud with them. But at the same time, it's like, man, he lost. But goddamn, he just put the fucking screws in Neville. I mean, he just laid him out. That's why I say that.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what this guy's looking for, I don't know. I mean, that would be my suggestion that would have set that off, though. All right. So Ben says, first off, both of you saw the match between Sasha and Becky Lynch, I'm assuming.
I'm trying to
It was very long. It had a few commercials in between.
Wasn't that long for me. I had a fast-forward button, motherfucker.
Okay, well, here it goes. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch was a botch fest. I was also bored out of my mind watching it. If this was the best WWE can do with women, maybe Vince should become a woman by doing his best Bruce Jenner imitation and become a woman with a dick. I got to give it to our listeners. They are very creative with the shit they send in through email and Facebook. Yeah, I don't know about the Vince with a dick part, but it was long, and there was two things there. There were a couple of missed spots, but I thought they covered it well.
How did it end? I'm trying to remember.
Sasha pulled the tights. It ended like she cradled. I don't know if she cradled her. I can't remember. But she had the tights pulled. And the ref saw it, but didn't do anything. Yeah, that was the other bad part.
Yeah.
That's lazy.
Right. Who cares about that guy?
Right. That's right. But did you see the botches in it, Doc?
No. When you're watching it super fast on fast forward, you don't catch those kinds of things.
Okay. Very good. And as far as Ben, your comment about Vince doing his best woman thing and becoming Bruce Jenner imitation and becoming a woman with a dick, I will pass on that option.
I think Vince wouldn't do that. He'd make Michael Cole do it.
Okay. Trent says, do you think Nikki is traveling with Cena right now? I mean, this guy probably has Snatch waiting for him in every city. If she's smart, really? If she's smart, she's in his back pocket at every move he makes. I don't fucking know, dude. Yeah. What do you think, Doc?
No.
Like, really?
Yeah.
If she's injured, I don't think she's on the road. But go ahead, Doc.
John, you are not going to San Antonio next week without me. You know I want to see the Alamo. And I want you to do me on the steps. I'm going to.
I want a baby.
Yes.
Give me a baby.
Please forget to pull out.
Oh, jeez. Come on, man. God, I don't need that visual in my life right now. Sam says, hey, double hamburger helper, which of these would you put the Michelle Tafoya Contra 60-minute joystick moves on from the territory days? Would you take Missy Hyatt, Dark Journey, or Baby Doll?
Missy Hyatt, no doubt.
As long as you can double wrap it, it's Missy I mean, like, all day.
If they can back to when I was a child, when I was just like watching on TV, yeah, Missy Hyatt.
Missy?
Yeah.
Doc, which one would you take, Doc?
Missy Hyatt and a Runaway.
Really?
Yeah. That's not even a question.
Yeah,
I was a Baby Doll fan back in the day, but man, they all look old now because they are. But
God,
she was
dang.
The one with your boy from the Freebirds, huh?
No, what do you mean, married? Or like real life married?
No,
she was married
no.
to she was married to
Baby
Sam
Doll.
Houston in real life. Yeah, Baby Doll was married to Sam Houston in real life. Now, who she managed? She managed Dusty. She managed Tully.
Gino
Hernandez here in Dallas. Right.
Yeah, she didn't just, you know, management wise, she managed a few different guys.
Yeah, she married Magnum TA and.
No, Baby Doll wasn't married to Magnum TA, was she?
Wasn't someone married to Magnum TA and to?
Well, Magnum is married now to Tully Blanchard's ex-wife.
Oh, that's.
I don't know who
she
was married to back then.
In the business.
I don't. That's a good
she
question.
She was getting the business.
Let me, Mr. PhD, you're the fucking intelligent one out of all of us. You know, you come on, Mr. Historian.
Historian. What? Now, what's the question? I got confused.
he was asking if Magnum's current wife was in the.
I mean, this ain't People fucking magazine. You just asked me which one of these girls I'd want to take out in the alley.
You're stupid, dude. Damn. Okay. So Harper's going with Missy Hyatt. Yeah. Again, we're going to go back to how they looked 30 years ago. Yeah. Not right now. Let's get that on the table. All right? Doc is going with Missy. I'm taking Baby Doll from back in the day. I don't know. It was something about her. I mean, she was kind of thick. I like them thick. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This again.
Yes, this again. Mm. All right? Mm. Yeah, here we go. All right. Hey, I do have a new sponsor that just started sponsoring the show, and I just want to plug them, and I want to say thank you to AutoCentrics in Dallas, Fort Worth area. If you are looking for a vehicle, my friends at AutoCentric know how stressful that can be and the headache that it causes and the fear that can present itself when you're shopping for a new vehicle. With over 20 years of experience in the auto industry, AutoCentric has established a way to make the process fun, easy, quick, and enjoyable. They are a premier Dallas auto dealership that serves the DFW Metroplex, and they can provide a family-like environment with no pressure and hassle-free buy-in experience.
If they took the pain out of buying a car, then you need to give them a call, because that's one hell of a beating.
It is. But let me finish. So trust me, you'll love the hassle-free buying experience, and I'm confident that you will love their industry low pricing even more. AutoCentric offers you the same quality vehicles you can find at dealerships at a fraction of the price. They have a wide variety of lenders that offer industry low rates, as well as the ability to say yes to everyone, and I mean everyone. That includes if you've got bankruptcy, repos, you know, divorces that have caused your credit to suffer, slow pays, charge-offs, you name it, no matter your current credit situation, AutoCentric says yes to you.
You think you think they'd sell Hamburger Helper a car?
Hold on one second. They are the complete one-stop shop from industry low pricing to financing to warranty solutions for every budget. They have Maseratis, BMWs, Hondas, Toyotas, Jeeps, Kias. They have it all. So if you know like I know and know that these guys have been in it for 10 years, give them a call at 972-866-4307. They've got 10 years of experience in this industry, from what I understand. So don't delay. Call them today and make sure you use the promo code, which is #Mike@BTTSentMe. You can find their contact information on our Facebook page as well. And please don't forget to like them on Facebook at AutoCentric. Now, you were saying, can they get a Hamburger Helper or a car?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jack like Harper doesn't have a car.
Yeah. I don't know if he's a good credit risk. Not all podcasters have cars, you know?
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
I want a Maserati, though. Shit. I deserve one.
You're a doctor, right? You need
That's right.
Yeah, of course. I freaking figures. You're an idiot. All right, so Clarence, let's pick back up with these questions.
Clarence
says, WWE picks up – this is not a question. It's a statement. I'm going to throw it at Harper. WWE picks up right where they left off, back to Cena kicking out at two count 60 times per match. Harper, did you see it?
Yeah.
It wasn't 60 times, though. I mean, he did kick out at two.
He waited for the finisher to kick out.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it was at the end.
It wasn't excessive. I mean,
it wasn't that obvious, but it was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like,
I don't know how they keep finding ways to have him kick out like that.
It's
how hard is it? One, two, kick out.
No, I mean, he's talking about the creativity
of when you think it's done. It's done.
The move set. You're talking about the move set.
Right.
Yeah. This fucking idiot, he don't get that part. He just thinks guys get in there and flop around. You know, they don't, you know, none of that shit's planned out and they
a true professional would call it in the ring, but I know what I'm dealing with here.
No, we didn't say anything about that. I mean, yes, there is stuff called in the ring, but you still have to, even if you're calling stuff in a ring, if you're in the back, you're calling certain things. You're like, okay, I want to do this during the match. Yeah. And,
yes, Tommy Rich, I'll put you over. Whatever I can do for you, Tommy Rich. I get it.
Never happened.
Yes. No?
Not Tommy Rich, man.
Hey, when the former NWA,
I never worked him though. I mean,
when the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion tells you to jump, you better say how high, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. And then I'd say, how high is it? Never mind. I don't go there. I'm not going there. I'm not even going there right now. I ain't letting you bait me into this bullshit. Okay. All right, let's move right along. Martin, which of these would happen more if the Young Bucks and John Cena could have a match with each other? Would Cena kick out at two more, or would the Young Bucks have more super kicks? That is a great question, Martin. I'm going to throw that over to Doc. What do you think? Well, more super kicks?
I think you could put the commentary on repeat. Young Bucks super kick. One, two, kick out. Young Bucks super kick. With the pin. One, two, kick out. And just put that shit on a loop. Hulk could go have a cigarette.
Harper, what do you think?
I never.
You don't really watch ROH, though. I mean, yeah, I don't. Have you seen these guys?
Yeah, yeah. It's super kick fest. And it doesn't make sense because if the first 19 didn't work, why are you going to do it a 20th time?
I don't know, man.
Why do you keep dating new girls?
What? That's totally different. You cannot compare new snatch, as this listener said, to Young Bucks super kicking. Because I'm a quote a movie for you.
Is it Menace to Society?
Man. You probably never saw the movie Best Man. You know, with Taye Diggs and Morris Chestnut and all that.
No.
Anyway. Well, God, what's his name?
This is a great story. It's off to a great
The dude that's an Empire. I can't
Terrence
think of his name.
Howard, you dummy.
Yeah. He says in that movie, while the fellas are sitting around a table night before the bachelor party playing cards, he goes, "You motherfuckers know better than me. Or know just as well as me. The only thing better than pussy is new pussy."
That's coming from a married man, BTT listeners.
Look, man, I'm quoting a goddamn movie,
right,
man.
Best Man.
Okay. Yeah, Best Man.
I'm gonna rush out to Blockbuster.
Bro, that's a good movie. I mean,
at the Dollar Show.
Doc, you don't like it because it's got black folks in
what?
It. I'm just playing. I shouldn't even play like that. People will get all the panties in a bunch.
I don't hate black people because they're black. I hate them because they're people, and I hate all people.
So you hate everybody.
Yeah.
That's just
great. Yeah.
Okay. Because you're going off the rails right now with your stuff.
Yeah. No lives matter.
Oh, no lives matter. That's my dude.
I actually got a question this week about why we never bring up politics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We could do that.
I'm
cool, bro.
Politics. I don't want to talk about.
We're saving that for the Jim Cornette episode.
We are, actually, if we can get Cornette on this thing. I am not talking about Trump. I'm not talking about Hillary Clinton. I ain't talking about Republicans, Democrats. I ain't talking about none of it. You know why? Because it's all a fucking work. All of it. Every last bit of it. I bet y'all wasn't ready for that one. Anyway, y'all ready to move right along? Because I got some real good ones that we're going to get
to in
a second. All right, so Chance says, what are the BTT guys' New Year's resolutions? Oh, this is stupid. Mine is to listen to more Booking the Territory. Doc, what is your New Year's resolution?
I got a good one, guys. I resolve to be stop being so nice next year. And let me tell you, when all you fat motherfucking listeners are all like, I'm going to lose some weight. And then by January 5th, next Tuesday, when the next episode comes out and you're face down in some pound cake, I'm still going to be being a dick. So fuck off.
Yeah, I can't stand that shit, man. I'm going to change my life. No, you're not, bro. You were a freaking loser 10 years ago. And I guarantee you, on January 2nd, you're still going to be a freaking loser.
That's awesome. I'm sure y'all have all
seen. But hey, in case you're not going to, call Better Choices.
Yeah, while we're going there, sure, let's go ahead and say it. If you want to lose weight, man, and you are one of those people who are the New Year, New Me crowd, make sure you call Better Choices. Harper, what do you think about the New Year, New Me crowd?
I hate those people, bro. Why you got to wait till now? It's just, I mean, why you got to wait till January 1st to improve your shit.
Do the shit now.
Yeah.
What's wrong with December 29th? Hey, and for people who don't know, I can vouch for all three of us on the phone. Doc does cardio pretty much 5-6 days a week. The only time he takes off is about one day. He doesn't lift weights, but I'll give him credit. For about a year now, he's been sticking with his cardio. Harper trains all the time.
That's right, damn it.
He's not lazy. So when these two guys are saying that, I will vouch they do work out.
I'm 6'3", 210, a buff, cut, chiseled, manicured, rock hard.
Buff my ass anyway. So
hey, but you know what, you fat slobs? I dropped 30 pounds this year. You know what you got to do? Stop eating and work out. There ain't no easy way around it. Put down the cake and get on the treadmill.
That's my only problem with supplements. And don't get me wrong, I like protein powder and different supplements, but that's my problem with it. But let
Does
me get back to
cocaine count as a supplement?
Yeah. Not quite. That's the Tommy Rich special does not work as a supplement. Tommy Rich from the 80s, I'm sorry. But we do want to thank Better Choices. They sponsor us, so please help them out. Look them up, www.betterchoices.co. They're on Twitter, at BetterChoicesCO, along with Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff. If you just type in Better Choices, you will find them. They can help you lose whatever you want to lose, or they can help you change your diet. So give them a call. Also, I want to say thanks to my buddy Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance, who works the state of Texas. He can help you get a good rate on whether it's your auto, home, commercial, life, and health. Contact him at 972-834-2516.
Hey, man, he might be busy right now. He might be helping some tornado victims out.
He is actually very busy. I talked to him yesterday or Sunday. I can't remember which day it was, but we talked. And, if you're listening, man, there was some bad tornado activity.
People need to get their lives right, man. Jesus got mad right after his birthday and sent some tornadoes through this motherfucker. Now he's sending some floods over. Y'all, people ain't living right out there.
Damn, man. Damn. Can you have to bring up Jesus? Oh,
Muhammad, whatever, dude. Allah, whatever you want to get with. I don't care.
Okay. All right. We're going to stay away. Religion and politics. We're not going to discuss it. I'm just saying that right now. But guess what, Doc? Your buddy Adam has sent a message.
Oh, yeah.
And he did say he is considering coming on the show.
Bring him. I bet it's just as good as the last time we brought a listener on the show when I was out and y'all played that dumbass audition tape.
You talking about from Kevin Cordell?
Whatever, I don't know. Whoever it was. It was all I know. It was not giving our fans the high level of quality they deserve.
Okay.
But they're used to that because about one third of the show is great when I'm talking, and the other two third is you guys.
Adam says this was the best Raw ever. Cena is back, and Roman is at the top of his game. I'm not going to address it.
Adam, way to go, buddy. You even made Mild Mike Mills no sell your shit.
Yeah, for real. How old are you? 8?
Yeah, I got to stop picking on him, man. He's going to get upset to tell his daddy. I have to whoop his dad's ass.
He never whooped ass at you. Had ass whip you. Oh, okay. Adam, thank you.
Have y'all seen the meme of the guy that's doing the go to sleep maneuver in it says Ibushi or whatever, go to sleep, and then it's got CM Punk go to sleep, and then it's Roman Reigns go to sleep, and he's just holding a microphone.
Oh, come on, man.
I've not seen that. No, we didn't catch that one, Doc. I'm sorry.
That was awesome. We didn't see that. Y'all need to spend more time on the internet.
Nah, I'm cool.
No, we're good. Alejandro, did ROH mess up by having Briscoe and Lethal last for one match? It seems that was a feud that could have lasted a lot longer than it did. Man, I mean, we kind of talked about this, Doc, off the record. Yeah, man, I mean, they definitely probably could have done something with that because the problem was they booked themselves into a corner with the two titles. You put the TV and the world title up, so one person's going to win and take both belts. That part made no sense. Now those two guys are great and had a great match, superb match, but Yeah, they definitely left too much on the table. But it would have been better if one of them wouldn't have had a title. Like, maybe if Lethal would have dropped the TV title first, you know, somewhere along the line, then maybe it would have been better when him and Briscoe finally fought, because they could have done like a, you know, a best 2 out of 3 type deal. Not that it would have been set up that way, but they could have had a nice feud where it would have lasted. Harper, I know you don't really tune into ROH regularly. So, Doc, I mean, what were your thoughts on it?
Man, they just showed it on the year-end best of the year ROH, that their pay-per-view match. And I watched it because, you know, I don't pay for wrestling. So I prefer to keep my money in my own pocket. But they showed the build-up to it. And, man, those guys delivered great promos on each other. Briscoe was just like, I don't like you personally, kind of shit. That, you know, and he's believable at that. He hadn't been pinned in over 2 years going into that match. Lethal hadn't been pinned in over a year going into that match. It seemed like a hell of a buildup for Briscoe to just fade into the background once it was over and work with Adam Page or whoever he was working with. I don't get it. I think they left money on the table there.
Yeah,
I mean, go book their territory is what I'm saying.
Oh God, I hate to agree with you, but they probably did leave money on the table. I'll leave it at that. But they definitely left money on the table. Because I mean, at the end of the day, did anybody – not to knock the match with AJ Styles, because I thought with a bad back, if it's legit and his back is really messed up, they had a great match, him and Lethal, but I don't think anybody thought AJ was going to win.
I don't think his back was hurting too bad. I heard he was strutting around the locker room talking about how he wouldn't put over Luke Hawks that one time.
Oh, shit. God, if you don't, dude, stop. No, we ain't gonna go there. that was funny.
That's real classy.
It really is. It really is.
Hey, man, I ain't gonna get to the end of 2016 and say I lived up to my resolution if I don't get started right now. I was gonna wait till next week to stop being nice, but Harper, you got me all energized and harperized. I'm ready to be mean now. Let's go.
Oh man!
He said, get started today. I said, why not?
For real?
Okay. Hey, we got a bunch more to still get through. Let's do this. Cal says, crowd chanting Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. Vince must love that crap. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I think the thing that got him madder than that was, we can't hear you, and Roman Reigns told him he was an old man. They needed to speak up.
I just think the whole thing is stupid with the whole CM. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, like, it's just, it's old. Look, it's, we got it at old. First.
How long?
You know what I'm saying?
He's been gone for what? Over a year, huh?
Punk's been gone for a while now. I mean, it's over a year. Yeah. Come on, man. Grow up. And look, man. Look, I understand. Look, I get it. You paid money. You got your ticket, right? But do you really have to do we have to go here every week with this? I mean, not every week, but when they're in the like cool city, so to say, they're in New York or Chicago. Come on, man. Look, I get it. You paid your money. You can say what you want to say, but at the end of the day,
dicks about it.
That crowd was downright disrespectful last night. But what would you expect from the city of New York? A bunch of shitheads. I hate that place. Well, the only place that's worse than New York is Philly.
Okay. I mean, it's a tough wrestling crowd. Hey, you know what? You know what, though? You know what got me more than that? And I thought there was a question about this, so if I cover it now, you know, so be it. But somebody tweeted last night, not to the show, but I saw on Twitter, somebody said, oh, this is great. You want you chant every week, we want Sasha. And then the minute you roll Sasha out there with Becky Lynch, although it wasn't the greatest match, they were chanting boring during that match.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, seriously, think about that. Just think about that for a second. Chanting boring during the match, but you've been begging for it for like, you know, a month now. We want Sasha, but she goes out there and you're chanting boring. That was kind of, to me, like, all right, yeah, I'm over it at this point. This is ridiculous. Mitch, so was Steph standing there waiting to see about her hurt father, but had to wait until they played her music? Oh, that is kind of funny. Yeah, Doc, you got that one?
Yeah, I thought that was weird too, man. It was like, hey, anytime Steph's coming out, I like that because I like Steph. But for multiple reasons, mainly two that I can count. But yeah, Vince is all hurt, which was terrible acting, by the way. But yeah, she's just gonna stand there in gorilla position and wait for her music to hit. That doesn't make any sense.
That is true, though.
I didn't see that. What happened?
At the beginning, like when Vince was when Vince was hurt, like his
he
neck,
said my neck, his, my back, my neck and my back.
He did the Friday when Ezell slipped and fell in a grocery store and my neck, my back, I'm suing
for $2 in this box of envelopes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then her music hit. It is kind of true. It's like, oh, you're waiting for the music
next
to
time
hit
my daddy falls down, I'm gonna wait for some music to hit before I go see about him.
Yeah. I mean, that just speaks to last night. It wasn't all that to me. It was, you know, 3 hours of meh. Julius says, I like, oh God, this guy must be related to you, Doc. Julius says, I like women's matches. I can fast forward right through them. First off, Julius, not true. You are stupid if you say you can fast forward through them, because if you've seen, you know, Becky Lynch and Sasha go at it, you would not say that about fast forwarding right through, because they've had some hellified matches down in NXT. So I don't know what this guy is getting at, but yeah, man, you're trolling. But Doc, you said that earlier.
I fast forwarded straight through that one, and I fast forwarded through that Usos match too.
Bruh, I'm kind of a little tired of looking at them.
Who?
The Usos.
They just came back.
I know. I'm already tired of them.
Why are you tired already, though?
Because it's like, okay, get in there, and they're going to throw some, you know, Dean Ambrose in there with you.
Oh, yeah, right. The whole six-man tag thing.
Yeah, they were doing that before.
Dude, I got another question. I didn't include it, but somebody else tweeted again. Hey, do you seriously think they're considering doing a six-man tag champions? I'm like, oh, my God. Please. No,
not unless
don't
they
do
go
that.
Dig up some Von Erichs out of the grave.
Yeah. Oh, shut up. That's come on.
Come on, man.
You're a special level of asshole.
What are they going to do? Staple Carey's foot back on from beyond the grave?
Oh, okay. We're stopping at this point. We got to get through these. We only got a few more minutes. Errol says Vince's mugshot was the same face I made when Mae Young birthed the hand.
How about Vince getting racial about bones and noses last night?
He sure did. He said about this. Did you hear that, Paul Harper, when he said that?
He said that it wasn't 100 years ago that Roman Reigns' people still had bones in their noses.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he got racial.
And then
he went
and said, Alpha and Sika, I wore them out and used them up and paid them peanuts.
He went hardcore on that. He did. He said I wore them out and paid them peanuts, and I lined my pockets with them off of their backs. I mean, he was raw on that one. What the sad part is, there's some truth to that.
Yes.
Come on.
That's the sad part, man.
Vince would never treat his talent bad, would he?
Again, don't get me started. Oh God! Hey, Harper, have you been on a show with any of them? Because they're in Pensacola. Like I used
who's that
when I first started? Sika.
Uh-uh.
Okay, I didn't know, because like when I first started, I was, well, Umaga. He wasn't Umaga at the time, but he was on a card with me. Matt was too.
I think you were on
Rosie.
A card with him, and not him on a card with.
Okay, whatever way you want to word it, dumbass. Yeah, but no, I was asking Harper that because they're right down. I mean, they're literally just a few hours away. I didn't know if he had been on a card with them at all. Yes, dude. I don't know. I hear Sika's still actually working.
Damn, bro.
That's what I mean, I know he was as of a few years ago. I don't know if he's given it up yet. I know Matt is. Matt's on a card in a few weeks. I saw a post about that. All right. Gerard wants to know, The Miz is a former world champion. Why is he relegated to such crap these days? Oh, God. Harper, what do you think about that?
I don't think he's crap. I mean, I like his role, but I wish they would respect it more, because he's probably one of the best guys on the microphone there.
Yep, I think what JR says, man. I think he needs to be a commentator. You know, yeah. he would be a good heel commentator. Yeah. Think about it.
I mean,
I agree. Unlike me, he's instantly dislikable.
Me?
No, you're right up there with him. You both are instantly dislikable.
I'm adored by thousands, if not tens of thousands of people. So I don't know what you're talking about.
The difference between you and him is he's acting like an asshole. You're an asshole. And he's printing money, and you're reverse printing money.
I would like it if his show was like the old school stuff from the 80s where like it had like its own little set, like to the side.
Yeah, go kind of retro, yeah, like man. Piper's Pit.
Right, yeah,
do.
Man.
But see, they you know why they don't? It goes back to the whole three-hour gimmick. You know, they got to fill up three hours, so that's why they roll it out there. I'm serious. That's why they do a segment like that. Rather than doing the old Piper's Pit segments where, you know, you got to – where, I don't know, less than 5 minutes, you know, 3 to 4 minutes, 5 minutes out there, they got to roll out the whole set in the middle of the ring. That's just how it's done now. I mean, it's just different, unfortunately. That's the reason it's like that. Al wants to know why was Sin Cara so hurt? He fell on a gym mat. This guy must have the intelligence you have, Doc.
What was wrong with him?
I mean, right when he landed, I said, "Oh, he didn't land flat."
Nope, I saw it from the get go.
I saw Sheamus did that too one time, and I was like, oh, "Shit, he didn't land flat." But I mean, he wasn't hurt apparently, but. But with Sin Cara, I was like, uh-oh.
That
right
was
on his shoulder, yeah.
Dude, that's a nasty fall, even if you fall flat on your back.
Yeah.
Why? There's a mat out there? Come on.
Says the guy who's never taken a bump.
I think, what was this guy's name that sent in this question?
Al.
I think Al's just trying to find out what's going on there. And you guys he deserves better. You guys should answer his question.
With the separated shoulder, huh?
Yeah, you could see it.
Yeah.
It was clear as day. I mean, it was separated. It's all on the world.
Yeah.
It looked bad, man. Oh, it looked bad. Okay, let me get through these. We're running out of time. Anderson, if WWE likes comedy so much, shouldn't there be a bigger role for R-Truth, like maybe make him a member of the New Day? No. Doc, real quick on this one.
I don't think I'd make him a member of the New Day, but I don't understand why R-Truth. I laugh when he comes out. I don't see why you can't put him on the show more.
Yeah, he's definitely an entertainer.
I like him. Yeah. He's definitely an entertainer. I don't, you know, the thing is he's kind of pigeonholed in that role now,
right.
Kind of like to me, like Santino was, where he's the comedy guy. But that's all right. I mean, you kind of need that. And I think if you don't overexpose him like every single Monday night, maybe you only roll him out there once every 3 weeks, that makes him even more special in his role.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I mean, but not a member of the New Day. That's just pure stupidity, Anderson. I mean, you sound like a, you know, armchair booker who would have no clue what to do. So you're going to have four New Day members? And then I'll do like all the other podcasters do that do wrestling shows, but although I hate to. And then what you going to do once you got four members of the New Day? I mean, like, so, yeah, that's just a really dumb idea. I don't know how to say this next name. Jerron, the opening segment of Raw was porno quality acting, but then again, the wrestling isn't much better than porno quality either. Doc.
I watched that opening segment and thought, A, this is complete and utter horseshit. And B, think of all the time that all those WWE superstars spent in a ring wrestling and some old timer telling them they needed to do this and this and this to be successful on the big stage, when really they're trying to get into some dumbass comedy bit with Vince and Stephanie.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it definitely.
And Vince's time, I mean, I don't know if it's because he's 100 years old now or he hadn't been doing it, but his timing was off on that one. It felt like he didn't feel natural out there.
The whole thing was off. It was just I just did not like the segment at all. It seemed like it was slow. It dragged on. I mean, I want to say I looked at my watch and it was like 20 minutes in before it was over.
That's
like
the biggest problem I had. In all honesty, with the whole Neville Owens thing is I spent 18 minutes watching bad acting and they come back from commercial and Neville and Owens goes 33 seconds. That's something I kind of wanted to watch.
I mean, yeah, but it, what are you going to do? I mean,
I'm going to quit watching.
Yeah.
Wait,
okay.
What time is Raw on next Monday night? I am interested in hearing. I may actually tune in to some SmackDown to see Mauro Ranallo.
I will definitely do so. I will. And I'm gonna tell you something too. You're sleeping on SmackDown. SmackDown is actually much easier to watch because it's only 2 hours, and once you get the commercials out of it, because I never really watch it live.
Yeah.
You're getting about 1 hour and 40 minute show, and it goes quick.
Here's the thing. If we recorded on Friday nights instead of Tuesday nights, maybe I could get away without watching Raw. But because I want to give our fans the biggest, baddest version of me they can get, I got to watch that bullshit Raw.
Okay. Well, we got to wrap this thing up. So I got one more question. Hey, Harper, uh-huh. Amy wants to know something.
What's that, baby?
So, Harper, were you naughty or nice, baby, for Christmas?
Sweetheart, I'm always naughty.
He spent 2 days in a damn hospital with who knows what kind of drip coming out of his little What do you think, Amy? God dang.
At Cordell Kevin on Twitter says, top moments of the year were AJ Styles versus Jay Lethal on the indie level, Chris Silvio versus Michael B.S. Hayes, and in WWE, Owens versus Cena won. Yep, I agree.
Hey, you know what the best moment of the year was? Was any time you listeners got to listen to me do some podcasting.
That was a good one. All right. I just want to say thanks to all the sponsors of the show. If you enjoy the show and are a first-time listener, please retweet us when we tweet the show out. Please share us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and write us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. Reviews help build the audience of the show, like I always talk about, and each time you write an iTunes review, we go up on the iTunes rankings, so we appreciate that when you do that. Like I always say, too, I can't tell you how many times I get messages on Facebook or, you know, tweets to us, and it says, hey, I found you because somebody tweeted it, or somebody sent me, or somebody shared it on Facebook, so we appreciate that. And subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, or Stitcher. Please subscribe. That way you automatically get the show. Couple of quick show plugs before we throw it over to El Chupacabra, the interview that you've been waiting on. It's I got a few of them. One is January 1st at the Oakland Metro. Hood Slam kicks off their first show of the year. And then they also have a show. They're taking their show on the road in Reno, Nevada on January 15th, so 2 weeks after the January 1st event. And if you haven't seen the Hood Slam show, it's pretty off the wall, and it's not for the kids. Their motto is, don't bring your fucking kids. So
that's classy.
Don't bring your kids. Hey, it is what it is, man. That's what Hood Slam does. So you know that, though. I mean, we've had a bunch of Hood Slam guests on at this point. And then we got January the 9th in Metairie at Grace King High School, Wildcat Sports, 7 p.m. bell time, ODB, Brian Kendrick on the card. And for all of you listeners, I will have on the current Wildcat heavyweight champion next week, Shane Taylor. As we talk about Wildcat and Shane's career, we also get into some other non-wrestling related topics as well. You'll definitely enjoy that coming up on next week's show. January 16th, there is that huge card I've been plugging and talking about, Shawnee, Oklahoma at the Fire Lake Arena. Mega card, like I said, Jim Ross, Scott Hall, Scott Steiner, EC3, X-Pac, Mickey James, James Storm, Chris Masters, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Jerry Lawler will all be there. You do not want to miss it. It's super stocked. I'm bringing Doc up there with me, and I hope to God's sake he does not get killed by one of the talents there because no one likes him.
What makes you think I would be seen in public with you?
Fine, motherfucking old cum then. I mean, shit, I don't need you.
Is my trans, I'll be at Wild- is my trans covered?
No, it's not, because you're not talent. I'm sorry. I hate to break the news to you. Oh, hey, Harper, man, I hope you feel better, but you got anything else before we get up out of here?
Nah.
All right. Well, I will see you in a couple weeks, and then we'll talk again next Tuesday. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nah, I've done all. Oh, wait, I do have something. I thought it was fantastic last week how you guys ruined your Saints draft position by playing your hearts out. Like, y'all were playing so hard, it was like, man, maybe we can reverse time and keep Katrina from happening if we win today. That was super how you knocked yourself out of the top seven or so on the draft with that, beating up the Jaguars like that.
Are you done?
Cowboys lost. That's what we're trying to do now. That's the great thing about the NFL. If you lose long enough, finally the losses become like wins.
I got one thing for all my Hood Slam folks out there. Doc is a Cowboy fan. I know you guys are Raiders fans.
I'm also a wrestling fan. Maybe y'all should try some of that too.
Damn. Shut the fuck up. Hood Slam, please, please, please tweet me some hate mail for Doc. That way I can bury him on air next week. How's that sound? Sound good? Okay. All right, y'all. We're about to get up out of here. Let me throw it over to myself and El Chupacabra from Hood Slam. Okay, everybody. Like I was saying in the beginning, before we got things going and in the intro of the show, tonight I got on El Chupacabra from Hood Slam, another one of the great talents out of Hood Slam in Oakland, California. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just another day in paradise here. Just living the dream.
I hear you. I hear you. Hey, so I didn't ask, how long have you been actually wrestling now? Because I know Hood Slam's been around for about, what, 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years. Myself, personally, I'm coming up on 13 years of wrestling. So of training from the beginning of December 2002, debuted in April of 2003. So, cool. Yeah, coming up on 13 years.
I had no idea it had been that long for you. I really didn't.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. I mean, I originally trained in Sacramento with the big ugly J.D. Bishop, who's trained many greats that came from there. And then from there, I ventured and I moved to Reno and trained with the guys, the Reno Scum, Brian Brigger and Mustafa Saeed, were my trainers up here. And from there, I also trained over in Antioch with Pogo the Clown, a.k.a. Coach Nugs.
Yep.
So I just tried to venture out and get as much training as I can when early in my career.
Yeah, that's good to do. You know, you get bits and pieces from everybody, and you kind of not that you won't get well rounded any other way, but it's always good to have different points of view and different aspects to be, you know, thrown at your way when you're coming up and stuff. I just know from experience, man, that's a good way to learn, and you know, it makes you more versatile, so to say.
Yes, yes. I've learned a lot from every trainer I've ever stepped in the ring. I learned everything from anyone I've ever stepped in the ring with, but the trainers that I've mentioned, those guys are all great guys.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so, like, at this point, I think we were counting down earlier before we started recording, but I want to say you're the fifth, if you count Bull or Manimal, you're about the fifth guy that I've had on from Hood Slam, so we've told the story. I can tell you now, you know how I feel about Hood Slam. I love what you all are doing, and I can tell you every bit of feedback that I get from audience, you know, people who listen to the show, they're always like, holy crap, you know, we're glad you turned us on to Hood Slam. And, I mean, I got people from, you know, even the East Coast that are like, man, I never would have heard of it. And, you know, after hearing MVP talk about it and then you keep mentioning it, they latch on. They're like, I can't get enough of this stuff. So, you know, they're on your YouTube page and they're following you on social media. So if you want to give a quick recap, we talked about, you know, Hood Slam and whatnot and everything that's about, but I'll let you talk a little bit about it just to plug it in general before we get into the more general stuff about what's coming up for, you know, January 1st and then once again in Reno on the 15th.
Right. I mean, Hood Slam is the best thing going today. It's just, you know, everyone says they think of it as the adult Disneyland of wrestling, and I just think Hood Slam is Hood Slam. You get to be yourself. You get to express, you know, a different character that you wouldn't probably be able to do on the independent scene at some quote-unquote serious shows. So it's just one of those places you get to let loose and relax and be yourself and be an actual entertainer in front of, you know, hundreds of people, 1,000-plus people usually sometimes. It's just something where everyone wants to be at, and when you're there, you don't want to leave.
Yeah. 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 I've said it a few times on the show. I'm like, I got to make my way out there for a show. It's just so far. You know, I'd have to take days off work and whatnot to come on a Friday. But I want to see it for myself, because from the time I've said this a million times, but from the time I first saw Drugs Bunny make his entrance, I'm like, that's some stuff I got to see in person one day. Solid entertainment.
It's great. I mean, I when Drugs Bunny or the Hero of Hyrule, Link, when their music plays, and if I'm already done wrestling, I'll run out there and throw my fingers in the air and drugs, 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 or throw the Triforce or get the Rupee Cutter sign and everything up there for my hero, the Hero of Hyrule, Link. he's just like, all both those guys are just phenomenal when they enter the ring. It's just a different vibe that you get.
Yeah, I agree. So the from like a, I guess I want to ask you got coming up on the 1st of January. That's your first show of the year. Do you all have you know what's going to happen right now as far as the cars looking? And because I've neglected to look at what happened at the last show. I mean, I saw a lot of photos on Instagram and whatnot, but as far as the results go, I haven't been good about keeping up what happened at the very last event. But I wanted to kind of get a snapshot of what's going on into the 1st. That way, when this drops on the 29th, I believe it is, 28th, 29th, you know, the fans that listen, they can kind of get a preview of what's going on for the upcoming card.
Gotcha. So our last show that we had for 2015 was the Hood Slam Hood Fighter Tournament 2015, where we saw Pissed Off Nerdy Gamer Pong defeat everyone in the tournament and go on, and he'll be facing Ultra Girl Brittany Wonder January 1st for the Golden Fanny Packs. So
right.
It's going to be a big show for that one. Other than that, I mean, we have just the continuous stuff that we've been doing for the past several months of storylines, you know, with the Stoner Brothers and with, you know, we have the Bitabi Brothers and everyone else in there. It's pretty much just a continuation of what's been going on. It's one of those things you're going to have to read the results. And, you know, you're going to just have to watch those awesome highlight videos that Mark Johnson has been making and stuff. It's one of those things you're going to have to recap it to before you go to the show or see what's going to happen at this next show. So January 1st, but other than, you know, Ultra Girl, Brittany Wonder, and Pong for their match, it's pretty much up in the air of what's going to be happening January 1st. Every first Friday of the month, or sometimes, you know, twice a month with a slam, it's a surprise. We're surprised as well of, like, what's going to happen. What are we going to do today? You know, it's peeking
yeah.
in the rain.
yeah, for real. All right. Hey, but so Drug still has the golden gig, right?
Correct.
Drug. Okay, yes. That's what I thought. I thought I saw that the results and whatnot from the last one. That's cool. Now, hey, give me some, dude. I know y'all must have tons of stuff. Just I don't want to call it mischievous, but like stories that happen at your shows. Like maybe some of the best moments of 2015. I was thinking about that when I knew I was going to talk to you today. I'm like, I wonder what they would consider some of their better moments. I mean, I know of, you know, Entertainia, and from what I heard, that was a really big weekend for you all. But like big moments, I guess specific moments that you could think of off the top of your head from 2015 that would be like, look, this is why you got to see Hood Slam.
Let's see. Like you said, Entertainia weekend, just you know, having Sonny Ono, MVP, Trina Michaels, a bunch of other people just coming on in for that weekend of the WrestleMania weekend in the Bay Area. That was just great. That was just a great, you know, weekend altogether. Something else that was probably great was just the whole show of Femmed Out in February that we did, where we all went and just dressed in drag and just had a, you know, one of our biggest shows of the year, surprisingly, where we actually asked the fans to come in dressed dragged as well. So we had, you know, men coming in dressed up in dresses. We had women coming up dressing as men. It was a great show all around for that one. Let's see, me personally, I had a Hood Slam that actually fell on my birthday, May 1st. So that I was able to have my dad come to a show who never really comes to any wrestling shows, but to sit there and watch the whole crowd cheer my name and stuff like that. That was a good feeling to see my dad see that for me. Let's see, what other great moments with Hood Slam? There's so many. I'm just going through like the Rolodex in my head right now. And I'm just thinking it's just every show had one great moment of something. Juice Lee finding something to jump off of, Ken Masters, Street Fighter, Ken Masters also doing the same thing. Just everything about it, just all the characters, we bring something to the table different every time. And it's so hard to just pinpoint, you know, just a handful of things. But if I had to say, it'd be, like I said, the Femmed Out, most recent shows that we've had, there's always been something with Virgil Flynn doing something spectacular that we wouldn't think he can do. But, you know, that's Virgil Flynn for you. but, yeah, I mean, just Femmed Out is probably one that really sticks with me. Oh, Arnold Corpse. That was a great show. We did a whole show based on, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I went out and dressed up as the Predator. So Predator Cobra is what I went out with. I had the Predator mask. I had the shoulder cannon. I had the arm gauntlet thing. I had everything all made up for that. So let's see. Blood Slam. How can I forget Blood Slam? That was probably very close second with Femmed Out, because that show was just a horror movie from beginning to end, just one big story told out. And that was just a great, phenomenal show altogether there. Everyone did great that show. Not like they don't do great every show, but that was just a really outstanding show.
Well, I know I saw you talking about it, not that everyone doesn't do great. I saw that the spot that you and Sheik at the last show at the very end. I don't know if it was at the end where y'all did that move off the top rope onto the floor.
The Spanish fly off the top rope into all the opponents on the side. Yeah, yeah. That was probably stupid on my part. I know she probably hates me for that. But you know what? I want to do my best for everything out there. I go out there and try to go balls to the wall every time for the fans. They pay to see us go out there and entertain. I want to try to give them my best every time.
I agree. I remember from the video, you all do the move, and then whoever had the camera on it or whoever was recording this, because I couldn't tell if it was a fan camera or if it was one of you guys' cameras, they panned out to the audience, and, you know, I have an explicit show, so I'll say it. It's like everybody's like, holy shit, you know, the holy shit chant starts.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, man, that's pretty freaking weird. It just, you know, and obviously I didn't see the whole match. I didn't see what happened before it, but just to see the crowd up against the actual ring, I mean, I was telling Manimal that. I'm like, dude, those the fans are out there slammed up against the ring, man. It's crazy. It's just an insane environment, man. It's and one I can't wait to experience when I take a trip out there. It's I just look forward to it. But yeah, I look at that and I bring that up because it seems like every show I see a moment like that. Like I see something that happens like that multiple times, not just one time.
Yeah, I mean, Juice Lee finds stuff to jump off of. I just try to think of something different and creative to jump from the ring to the outside, missing the crowd just barely and hitting my opponent and stuff. But I think last show, not the Hood Fighter tournament, the one before, I think I did like a corkscrew senton off the top rope as well or something. So I'm just like I said, we always try to go balls to the wall out there for these fans. We like to fuck them fast and fuck them hard.
Yeah, that's right, man. Hey, they're entertained, man. They show up every month. That's for damn sure. I mean, from what I can see. Now, are y'all still doing shows back at the old Metro, or is it? Because I know y'all did. When I talked to Sheik, I think he had said y'all had just done one at the new building. But then I saw like the next one was at the old one, right?
Correct. We did one show at the new building, and we've been back at the old building ever since. Me personally, I don't know why, but either one doesn't matter to me. They're literally 30, you know, feet away, or not even, it's probably more than 30 feet, but it's a block away. It's right there. You
That's
can see it
me.
From the back door of the other place. So yeah. It's still the same area, still same parking spots and everything like that. But yeah, we've been back at the old one, but just don't know why.
No, I was just curious more than anything, like, you know, people that listen and they like Sheik told me, he's like, it's not like if when y'all went to the new building for that one, he was like, if people showed up at the old one, they could obviously see what was going on and could pretty much just walk over to the new one. So no, I was just curious more than anything related to it. Hey, talking about that that Entertainia weekend, when I had Trina Michaels on the podcast, I had no intention on asking her anything about Hood Slam, because I don't even think at that point I realized that she had worked for you all. And so I asked Trina, I said, hey, Trina, give me some, you know, you work these independents. I said, give me some of the most up-and-coming independents that are out there. And, like, she listed one, and then she goes, you heard of Hood Slam? I'm like, hell yeah. I had Drugs Bunny on not even a month before that. So, you know, people like her, and you know, if you want to talk about that, people like her and MVP helping you guys were on the map before them, but it doesn't hurt to have, you know, people like them who have a large following to actually also promote I'll call it a brand, so to say. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Now, Trina Michaels, when she was there, it was great seeing her. She's actually I'm originally from the Bay Area, San Jose area, and she's from the same area too. So it was kind of cool chatting up with her and seeing that we came from the same area, and she's doing her thing and we're doing our thing. But for her to put us over like that, that's pretty awesome. And then MVP, it was actually really cool when he came. I actually watched him, like, watch a match. And when he heard the Hood Slam band sit there and play Link's intro music live, he you saw him have this big grin on his face like a child. And he's just like, oh, yeah, this is going to be awesome. So, like, when you see someone like that, just, you know, with that's been to the big time and can be happy and see what we're doing as entertainment and be entertained, it's really thrilling. Who else? We have Gangrel, the Vampire Warrior Gangrel. That guy's
I
consider him like one of my mentors, one of the guys I look up to, because like there's always been a lot of vampires coming up throughout wrestling and stuff. But what he saw me at a show over here and heard I was a Chupacabra, he was just like, okay, I like you, kid. So that's about maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I think I saw him from that. So, yeah, you know, Gangrel, what's up? Fanging and begging, brother. I always loved you, brother. who else is coming through there? Sonny Ono. Sonny Ono, when he was there for WrestleMania weekend, he truly enjoyed it and loved what we were doing there. I'm trying to think of this. We've had just a bunch of other people just come on in and just, you know, like AJ Kirsch, a.k.a. Broseph Joe Brody. I mean, he talks about us all the time, and he gets our name out there. And he goes on, well, he was on Larry King Live a couple years ago. And just, you know, we're meeting famous people besides wrestlers and just meeting, you know, great people that have a big following. And like you said, that's just going to help us. And it's phenomenal to see all that these people are enjoying what we're doing, putting our hearts and souls out there.
Yeah, because, like, one of the things, I haven't even heard this criticism from anybody big, but, like, I think MVP said it when he was on one of the podcasts I listened to. He said, you know, it's if you're a purist, you know, you may not like it. But, man, I agree with him when he says that. But at the same time, like, if you're also a wrestling purist, if you just look past the characters, so to say, you'll still see, like, great wrestling. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like you're not out there working your tail off. You're still, I mean, everything I've seen, you guys and women all are out there busting your butts and know what you're doing in the ring. So it's not like you're not doing that. It's just that there's an enhancement to it with the whole character-driven storylines and what you all have going on from a unique standpoint.
Well, everything needs change. You can't just be the same thing over and over and over. And
yep.
Someone needs to flip it upside down and look at it a different way and go, ah, I know what I can do with this. And Dark Sheik did that. I mean, he saw something in every single one of us that's there. And he said, I got a great idea that I want to do, and I'd like you guys to come with me to do it. And that's what he did. And, you know, these people that, I mean, like, I've seen a lot of it here on the West Coast. I mean, we had to start up here, and there's a lot of naysayers saying that it's just, you know, hurting the business. It's not something traditional. You know, I've had to deal with all these people saying it here, but like I said, my trainer Mustafa Saeed, the original gangster, who's from ECW, who is
right.
Actually wrestled multiple times at Hood Slam with Poojack to become the new original gangsters, doing the same gimmick he did with ECW, who comes from a place that had to flip the whole wrestling world upside down, who told me personally that what we're doing here is something great. And this is something that we can be almost maybe better than ECW did. So for my trainer, who was at something that actually made the whole wrestling world turn upside down years ago, say that to me of what we're doing, knows we're on the right track.
That's what I was telling Sheik. I don't know if you heard the episode when I had him on, but that's exactly what I told him. Like, it's kind of like, I remember, like, I was in the business in 96, and I remember ECW at that time, and I remember hearing plenty of old folks say, oh my God, they're ruining it. You know what I mean? And they're ruining the business. This is ruining things. But it's like you said, man, you gotta change the game. You gotta flip the script. You gotta do something that hasn't been seen before. You know, you're not recreating the wheel, but you may be, you know, making the wheel a bit bigger or making the wheel a little bit smaller or, you know, in order to make it, you know, function better. It's just that different twist to it. And that's what I've always respected, and that's what I like about when MVP or Trina Michaels talks about it. You know, they embrace that, unlike, you know, people who – and I haven't heard big names folks criticize Hood Slam. I've only heard, you know, like you said, like Sheik was telling me or Drugs was telling me, it's indie guys who I guess, you know, oh, they're just – probably jealous at this point, but at this point it's
pure jealousy. It's the point of where they should have jumped on it when we were asking them to get on it with us, and now they're upset that we're successful and doing what we love to do. So it's pure jealousy.
That's right. Pure jealousy. Hey, so, you were telling me when we were messaging each other, and I hadn't realized it, that you all had actually gone on the road before. And I'm bringing it up because I know, you know, y'all got this thing, y'all coming up and going on the road in Reno on January the 15th. So I hadn't realized, though, that y'all had been on the road yet. I just assumed, you know, everything was done at the Metro. But it sounds like it's happened before, and then it's happening again, and hopefully it's going to continue where maybe it becomes a normal thing. Who knows? I'm talking out loud. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But go ahead and talk about, if you want, so you can plug Reno and tell everybody what's going to happen there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, years ago we went and did our Not So World Tour where we left Oakland and went down to L.A. and wrestled over with Brian Kendrick's school that he had down there for a little while. And after we did that, the next day we went and drove to Vegas and wrestled out there in Vegas. So, I mean, that was our first two little mini tours. Were actually really good. I mean, it was fun to travel. It was fun to be on the road with the boys and the girls. And it was just fun to just, you know, actually take our act on the road and go. We also went to the other side of the bay. We went to San Francisco and wrestled out over there. And that was actually a really good turnout for us over there. We didn't expect it to be that good. But, you know, it was great to see the turnout for there. And then, yeah, January 15th, we're taking on the road again. We're going to bring it up to Reno, where I live now, and just try to just get something going up here with Hood Slam. And just, you know, we're willing to just go anywhere and try to do anything with Hood Slam. So anyone from other states, other cities that you want Hood Slam in your town, your home area, let us know on hoodslam@gmail.com. But back to Reno. Yeah, Reno, January 15th, we're going to take it on the road. It's going to be at the Cargo right there downtown. We're going to just take, you know, Drugs Bunny, Brittany Wonder, Dark Sheik, the Stoner Brothers, the Butabi Brothers. We're just going to bring the whole clans of everyone up here again and just, you know, fuck Reno sideways, basically. Fuck them fans sideways.
That's right, man. That's awesome, though. Nah, that's good that y'all are taking it on the road, and I hope there's a real good turnout and it's successful. That way, maybe it, you know, it plants a seed for more of that in the future. I mean, think about it. You know, ECW didn't start, you know, touring nationally or you know, throughout the Gulf Coast or throughout the East Coast. I mean, it started, you know, in one building, and then it built from there. So it's funny because I see the same parallels to that I see with you all, and I'm like, that really would be nice if it took off in that way. I mean, think about it. If you all ended up half as big as ECW, how great that would be. You know what I mean? And when I say half as big, I mean, you're drawing already right now real good. I'm talking about, you know, where you're even going through half the cities they were. I mean, that would be a great, great thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it would be. And you know what? If we didn't, I am really happy of what we've been doing up till now, because this is all of us boys and girls putting our heart and soul into it just day in, day out, to think it would be better for Hood Slam. Instead of doing, I mean, we're all doing individual things to make ourselves individually better, but we are a Hood Slamily. This is where we all come together to make all of us better, not leaving anyone behind. There's no one left behind. We're all going to go to the next level with Hood Slam. So that's just great to feel.
Yeah. I know one of the things that like Manimal tells me, everybody I've talked to from Hood Slam is like, man, you can't imagine a locker room, man. It's just one of those things where it's just a, you know, not only a big party, but family, and everybody gets along. And man, you know as well as I do, wrestling locker rooms are a lot of times, it's not where everybody gets along. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And then Manimal's like, just, you know, he's family to me. And like, I met him a few years back over at a CAC show. And like, ever since then, we've just hit it off and we've been cool. And it's funny because, he's literally my brother from another mother. We're born same day, same year, but I think he was born in Chicago and I was born in the West Coast, so he was born a couple hours ahead of me or something like that.
Right, right.
So that was kind of cool to meet someone like Manimal. So, you know, what's up, Bull? You know, when you're moving to the West Coast, come on, Bull. You need to come out here and just stay out here with us.
I doubt that's happening. I don't know, but yeah, you never know, man. But yeah, he's actually coming up on an episode in a couple weeks after you. So The fans will get to hear from him. And man, that dude, he is just one cool cat. That's all I can say, man. He's real down to earth. He and I met. We got a mutual friend, and man, he's been very supportive of the show, man. I really appreciate it. He's helped me out. He's got guests. He's hooked me up with all of y'all, and I tweeted this out a few weeks back when who did I have on? The Stoner Brothers. Man, every time I post the Hood Slam show, man, the friggin' downloads skyrocket. You know, I guess I should thank all the fans out in California, man, because they download the show in droves, it seems. So I appreciate it. All the California listeners. Now, y'all should listen to all of them, but whenever I got on El Chupacabra or got on Drugs Bunny, let me tell you, dude, when I had on Drugs Bunny, it was ridiculous, man. He did wonders for my show. I'm grateful for it.
I mean, just listen to that name, Drugs Bunny. That's just so great. The rabbit with the habit. I mean, I remember, I believe, we had a show called, it was called Fuck the Fans. Yeah, Fuck the Fans 3, I believe, in Drugs We Trust. So he came out, he was the one running the show, and he had bags of, you know, coke all around, just like small little bags, and he's throwing them out to the crowd. And I just love the reaction of the people when they just sit there and they grab it and they put their finger in there and they're like, wait a second, this is not coke. but why he throws out the fake stuff, he's gonna keep that real shit for himself.
Dude is so awesome, man. But no,
JK people.
Yeah, right, for real. Come on, man. You know how people would be like, what? What is he throwing out? What is he keeping for himself?
Yeah, best part. That's the best part I love about Hood Slam. We can. Am I saying the truth? Maybe. Maybe not.
That's right. I get you on that. Yeah, he did. I enjoyed having him. Like I said, he was the first Hood Slammer I had. So it was cool. Like talk to him and just get the. He was the first one, as you could tell, that actually explained to my audience that's been listening what Hood Slam is, what Hood Slam is about. By this point, a lot of them who listen in weekly, they know. But I know I get tweets all the time from people. They're like, man, this is the greatest thing that I had never heard of. I'm like, I told y'all, man. That's why I had to get them on and get them talking about it. But God bless Drugs Bunny and what he does, because it's unique. But you know what? All of it is, because I remember, you talked about Poojack, right? I remember when I met Bull. Bull was like, he was explaining like Hood Slam to me, because at that point, MVP had introduced it on MLW, and he had mentioned. He had only mentioned like Drugs Bunny at that moment, and maybe one other person. I just don't remember. So when I met Bull and I were talking about Hood Slam, and he's like, dude, it's not just Drugs Bunny. He goes, man, they got a guy named Poojack, and he tags with Mustafa, and they're like the new gangsters. I'm like, Mustafa from ECW. He's like, yeah. I said, wait, Poojack, not New Jack. He goes, dude, Poojack. So I Google it and look it up, and I'm like, holy shit, this is great too. I mean, you got Drugs Bunny, you got Poojack. Literally, I mean, the dude looks like Poojack. He's dressed like what I would think Poojack would be dressed like. So,
exactly. Yeah, man. I mean, you say the name, you think it's in your head, and you're like, if you know who Poojack is, and you know who Winnie the Pooh is, you put it together, and that's what we have right there.
That's right. And, like that's another example of the uniqueness of what is built and what is created there. It's like, again, taking wrestling to the next level, taking it to a new level, and not many promoters are, I don't want to say can even have the visual creativity for it, but there are many who wouldn't do it just because they're like, oh no, I'm breaking some rule. But I'm like, dude, you got to see this. It's great. You will be entertained beyond whatever you believe. You will sit there and go, holy shit. Not only do these guys have good characters, good storylines, but they can work. Like, they're really good in the ring.
Yeah, they have to give it a shot. I've had my brother come there who's 30 years old. I've had my mom, my stepdad, my dad have all come to the show. I've had my 88-year-old grandmother come to the show. I've had the whole crowd cheer my grandmother on in the front row, taking a shot from Broseph Joe Brody, and then just all chanting in unison, "Troopies, Grandma." She's gonna remember that. I'm gonna remember that. I mean, that if any age group could sit there and have a great time. Roast of Joe Brody's mom. There's a video on YouTube where someone said something to his mom and he directed it on the mic to her and everyone turned and looked at her. She just gave both the whole crowd the birds. Just said, here you go. Fuck you fans. So, I mean, just like there's something for every age group there and everyone has a great time.
I kind of love that, man. So your 88-year-old grandmother was involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was awesome. There. And, yeah, and then my wife goes there all the time and stuff like that. So it's just, it's really great seeing anyone from age 21 all the way up to 88 just enjoying and having a great time of their life all under one roof, just watching and getting themselves entertained.
Okay, I don't have any type of special request when I finally do make it out there other than I just want a good seat to watch you all and you know, meet everybody and, you know, that I've already had on a show and whatnot. But that's all I ask when I come out there. Just give me a good place to watch it from. If you all were in any type of driving distance, I'd probably be there for the first. But man, that's all I request if I head out there.
Well, you got to head out here soon. I mean, flights are getting cheap. What, in February, March? I mean, I think we're going to have, hopefully, looking into two shows a month here for the next few months, hopefully. So keep an eye out for that.
Oh, heck yeah.
So.
Are y'all planning on anything big? I mean, I know WrestleMania is not out there this year, but are y'all planning on, have y'all talked about what may be going on for that weekend for you all?
No, we haven't talked to anything about that yet. I mean, we still, you know, bask in the ambiance of what happened before. So we're still, you know, happy and still having a big smile on our face and just pretty much looking forward right to the next show. So the January 1st show, the oh shit, the first Fridays on January 1st is going to be our one that we're most looking forward to. So.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Do every year y'all do in Entertainia? Is it always called that or no?
I believe we did Entertainia 2 years ago for the first time. Was it 2 years ago? Counting now, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 2 years ago we did it for the first time, and then we did, I believe, 4 in this last year just to catch up to where we're at right now. So we did Entertainia 1, and then we did 2, 3, 4, and then we did Entertainia 5 the week after.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I wasn't sure, you know, just not knowing the history, but I knew that was just a tremendous, tremendous weekend for you all. I mean,
go on the Hood Slam YouTube page. I mean, there's highlight videos from Mark Johnson that he's made. They're just, like, phenomenal. All the way from December of last year's Hood Fighter Tournament to currently right now. And then we have a bunch of other, you know, highlight videos that were made by a couple other people from us that put them on there. So we've got about maybe 2 years worth of highlight videos on there and full matches and full shows on there as well. I believe the San Francisco shows on there as well.
Okay. Are y'all on the YouTube page, the $1.99 YouTube, are you caught up? Like, is pretty much everything? Cause I know when I talked to Sheik, everything wasn't loaded yet. He said, you know, y'all were in the process of loading pretty much everything since the beginning onto the site. So are y'all caught up yet? Or are you still in the process?
As of right now, I think we're pretty much caught up for the past 4, maybe 5 shows. So we're current right now. And I mean, not as of right now. I think the last one we just had loaded up was 80s for the Ladies. Oh, God, that was another good show. How can I forget that one?
I saw a lot of pictures of that. I saw a lot of pictures.
Oh, man, myself and Virgil Flynn doing Milli Vanilli, that was a huge smile on my face for my personal reasons for that one. And then I went out there as Michael Jackson from Smooth Criminal. So that was really great and entertaining to do. And then just everyone else coming out there, you know, Top Gun and Spaceballs having a match against each other. That was phenomenal. Madonna and Weird Al. Weird Al Yankovic, you know, reposting an Instagram picture, a video of, you know, he quote unquote saying, me wrestling against Madonna. I mean, that right there was really awesome as well. If you hear about that, about, you know,
I did not know about that.
That was great. Go to his Instagram, go check it out. That was actually kind of cool to wake up the next day and see that and stuff. So, people are seeing it and people are liking it. You know, the king of improv or the king of, you know, parody is sitting there watching us doing it and enjoying it apparently. So that was actually really cool.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something though. That's how it grows, man. That's the thing, you know. It's like one person hears about it, they tell another, and And then you just get more and more people involved, and before you know it, it's exploded. I mean, it takes a while, but you know, if you stick with it long enough, the word gets out, and people eventually learn to appreciate it, and they find you. I mean, that's the best way to, you know, I can see it. Because I mean, I don't know when things. I guess when did you see? Because I know you said you came in later, but when did you see it was like, oh man, this is really starting to pick up steam at Hood Slam? I mean, can you recall a moment? Because I mean, obviously from the beginning, you know, you start off maybe small and you start to build it. But when did you see the like, oh yeah, this is really picking up steam now?
It has to be from the first show that I was at, because it was the second to last show at the Victory Warehouse. And prior to that, that whole year they were running there, and they were having maybe 5 to 10 people, 20 people, 30 people. And it's growing, growing, growing. And when I get there, it's over 200 people in this packed area, just having the time of their life. And they hear me coming out, getting escorted out on a leash, and just like, see, El Chupacabra is coming to the ring, and just me sitting in the ring and having just non-wrestling fans, just people that want to get entertained at the moment, just sitting there having the time of their life. I was like, oh, this is going to be something awesome. And then, yeah, just from there, I knew it was going to be great. And then we picked up steam. We had, I think, one more show at the Victory Warehouse. And then we've been at the Oakland Metro ever since. And then it's just been going uphill ever since. And big shout out, thank you to everyone at the Oakland Metro Opera House. You guys, thank you for everything like you guys let us do there. There's such a great staff, great management, and just, you know, a great environment to have what we do there.
Yeah. I can imagine. I mean, you all put on you bring tons of people in there monthly, so I'm sure they're very happy to have you as well. But cool, man. That's awesome. Hey, you got any? We're starting to get to that mark where we gotta start to wrap things up. But man, I'll let you talk about anything you want to talk about that we haven't already discussed, and things that maybe you want to bring up or talk about related to Hood Slam and what's going on. You know, I know we've talked about what's going on coming up in the future, but anything else you want to bring up, man, just let me know, man. I'm all for it. Like I told you, when we message each other, anything I can do to help promote it, you got it. I mean, you just got to tell me, and I'm all for it.
Hey man, just keep doing what you do and get all of the Hood Slammers on there, and just, I'm telling you, if you get more downloads from Hood Slammers than anyone else, well, I think you should just keep doing Hood Slammers more and more. There's a bunch of us out there that are willing to spread the gospel of Hood Slam, so.
I hear you.
But I mean, for those people out there, if you want to check it out, I mean, just go on the Google, type in Hood Slam. I mean, we've been on Maxim, we've been on Al Jazeera, Vice.com, San Francisco Chronicle, LA Times, New York Times. We've been, you know, just everywhere you can think of. We've had that, and that's just a small list of places, but the biggest, big list of them, but that have featured us on their sites, newspapers, or came and recorded us. And just, you know, in general, check out every of these Hood Slammers. There's like, you know, Virgil Flynn III is a phenomenal athlete. Keep your eye out for him. Juice Lee is just another great person you got to watch. The Hero of Highway Link. The talent enhancement, that man right there, keep your eye on that. The number one student from Stony University, keep an eye out for that guy right there. Just, you know, anyone from Hood Slam, just keep an eye out for all of us, because we're doing big things, and we're going to be doing a lot of big things in the next few months, I see. So just keep supporting, keep watching, spread it, share it with your friends, share it with your mom, share it with your you know, grandparents. Don't share it with your fucking kids. Just, you know, check out birdswillfall.com. Let's see, how much more plugs can I throw in there? Like you said earlier, go to the YouTube channel for $1.99 a month. You get full shows on there for, you know, it's called Hood Slammery. So check that out. But then also follow us anything on social media, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's, you know, all at Hood Slam. Just, you know, just find it anywhere. You can find Hood Slam anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you're not in the, I don't remember which one of the folks out there tweeted me one night. I was like, man, I think I tweeted out something, and I tweeted at Hood Slam. I was like, I need the people on the West Coast who follow me to post pictures and videos from Hood Slam. And somebody, I don't know who, tweeted me back and said, dude, just go to Instagram. We post videos there all night. So anyone who cannot be there on a first Friday, go to their Instagram page, because a lot of times they'll post videos of the show throughout the night on there.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's one of my things I like to do the next day. I mean, that's a good way to cure the Hood Slam hangover, just waking up, jumping on Instagram, and seeing all these fans posting these great pictures and videos of it. And it's cool being inside the ring, and you're about to do something great, and seeing everyone like, oh, let's get the phones out. Got to record this. Going straight to Instagram.
So it's that, true, I mean, man. Yeah, it's true. Like, I remember, it wasn't the last show. I think it was the show before last. Man, I was on Instagram the next morning, and not Instagram, on Twitter. I went on Twitter the next morning, and I put in hashtag Hood Slam. And, God, man, it was freaking tons of tweets with photos and videos. And that's how I saw, you know, what you and Sheik did at the with the thing off the top rope. I was like, I mean, but that wasn't the only thing I saw. But my point is, man, you put in hashtag Hood Slam after a show, you'll have hours of entertainment just from that.
Oh, yes, so. Yes. Saturday, Sunday, I know. Most of my family members that like Hood Slam, but not too much. They're like, okay, Taylor, we get it. You had Hood Slam on Friday. It is now Monday morning. I'm like, but I'm still finding pictures and videos. I'm just trying to show you, like, these fans are putting up all this great stuff. So, yeah, it's just like you said. Hashtag Hood Slam on Twitter and Instagram will be hours and hours of entertainment, even now.
That's right. And they are. One thing I notice. They are all, anytime I tweet to at Hood Slam, man, it always gets retweeted. I mean, it's like I'm always getting retweeted, and I appreciate that related to the shows and whatnot. So, man, that's all I got, man. You got anything else before we get up on out of here, and I throw it over to the closing segment of the show.
Let me see. I just, like I said, thank you for all.
I don't want to forget
fans
nothing.
Out there. Oh no, I know. I was hoping I'm not forgetting anything too, but just, you know. Thank all the fans, you know, for just the support of just, you know, letting us do what we got to do and letting us entertain you and, you know, like talk to you guys once, sometimes twice a month. And thank you to all the Hood Slamly for always just putting their hearts and souls out there. It's really entertaining to have an actual cool, lovable family all in the back, taking care of one another, just trying to bring everyone up and set everyone down. To the cameramen, the sound crew, just, you know, everyone that helps out in any little way of just setting up the ring, you know, just helping out with the merch, anything like that. For me personally, and I know a couple other people, everyone else, we say thank you very much. Just thank you. Without you guys, Hood Slam wouldn't be where it's at right now.
Man, well said. I can't say it any other way. But, hey, and I'm going to tell you, I appreciate all of y'all's support. I know a bunch of times, like I said, y'all retweeted the shows once or twice, put it on the Facebook page, and you know, I appreciate that for me as well, because I'm trying to grow as well. You know, I've had on a couple people, a couple different big name stars, but honestly, man, I thoroughly enjoy having on everybody from Hood Slam. So, Hood Slammers, man, if y'all listening to this and El Chupacabra, tell them just be patient. I'm working through them. It's one of those things, man. I don't want to oversaturate the audience with a Hood Slam guest every week.
You can't. Yeah, there's no oversaturation of Hood Slammers. Every Hood Slammer has their own great, unique story. That's the best part about the Hood Slammer. We all came from different parts of different areas of pro wrestling, all to become under one roof. The Island of Misfit Toys, that I've heard it said before. So, that trust me, you cannot oversaturate with any of the Hood Slammers.
That's a good analogy, Island of Misfit Toys. That's a good one. But look, man, I'm gonna wrap this thing up and send it over. Hang tight one second, Taylor. I'm gonna wrap this thing up and send it over to the closing segment of the show, everybody. Y'all hang tight.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
All right, y'all, that is going to wrap up this week's episode of Booking the Territories Pro Wrestling Podcast. Want to say thanks again to all of our sponsors, Better Choices, TNA's Wrestling Palace, Farmers Insurance, and my buddy Jason Smith from there, who can be contacted at jason@goodguyllc.com for your free assessment and quote, along with our new sponsor, AutoCentric, for everything that they do for the show. We greatly appreciate your support. And if you're in the market, listeners, for any of those things, please reach out to them. Remember, they support us, so please help support them. Thanks again to Hood Slam and El Chupacabra for coming on the show, man. I really appreciated your time, and I also appreciate all of the support, all the tweets from everyone at Hood Slam, and everything that you know, you guys do, because you guys have you've helped us out since day one by giving us a lot of great people to interview, with the Stoner Brothers and with Chupacabra and with Drugs Bunny, who was the first one to join, and the Dark Sheik Khan. Definitely appreciate you all and coming on the show, man. man, and we really appreciate it. Couple of show plugs. Like I said, remember, we got January 9th at Metairie in Metairie, Louisiana, Grace King High School Wildcat Sports and Entertainment with ODB and Brian Kendrick on the card. We got January 16th, Power Slam out in Mississippi. They've got a card. Make sure you go to Power Slam's Facebook page. We got also January the 16th in Shawnee, Oklahoma at the Fire Lake Arena. Huge, huge card with Jim Ross, Scott Hall, Jinder Mahal, Jerry Lawler, EC3. Check out Imperial Wrestling Revolution on their Facebook page for more information there. And then lastly, like I was saying with Hood Slam at the beginning, at the very beginning of the show, we got January 1st at the Oakland Metro. Hood Slam kicks off their show. And also on January the 15th in Reno, Nevada, Hood Slam kicks off there as well. Make sure you are subscribed to us, whether that's on iTunes, Podbean.com, or in Stitcher, because when you subscribe to us, you will automatically get our shows each and every week that we put out there. That's all I got this week. Make sure for next week you are sending us emails. If you have any topics you want included on the show, that's bookingtheterritory@gmail.com. Other than that, we appreciate you tuning in as always. For myself, Hardbody Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and my buddy Doc Turner, who is mentally irregular and a bit of an asshole. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. Come through like the reaper, so deadly you don't wanna rumble. That's right, don't panic, Mr. Cold the mechanic. Sank you like a torpedo, gigantic as the Titanic. Rise, I'm humming, keep humming, I'ma keep coming. Grabbing you woman, but the drummer still drumming. Hard hitter, bullshitter, head splitter when bitter. Assassinator, rookie killer, like Adolf Hitler. My man Bingo, warrior, opponents get crushed. I'm too cruel to be moved, too fucking much to be touched. Got them dangling and jangling. So that shit when they hit this, fight me like a Viking, bitch, I'm tragic like a terrorist. Think you don't like me, and I've yet to begin. You'd rather be my enemy, cause I'm a deadly friend. So stay the fuck around me, or I make myself clear. Unless you looking for the man, cause the man right here. 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 The man right here.